Today on Real Radio.
Hypocrisy is a funny thing. It'll blind you to reality. Verse 39, then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. This is awesome. The guy invites Jesus over for dinner and he's going to set Jesus up. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that the guy is already dumbfounded about Jesus not keeping the Mishnah. Jesus doesn't care about the Mishnah. Who's getting set up here anyway?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 11 conveys a number of statements made by Jesus that we might describe today as in your face. Quite obviously, the Messiah was not making many more friends at this point in his ministry. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs to take us through verses 37 through 54 in a presentation called Diagnosis Hypocrisy.
Everybody's quick to speak about hypocrisy. We don't want to see hypocrisy. We don't want to be one who is operating in hypocrisy. Jesus is going to give his appraisal of the hearts of those who have gotten so far from him. If they were ever near him at all, Jesus is going to be speaking. The Bible tells us and speaks to us concerning God and his word and hypocrisy and truthfulness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, for the word of God is living. Church, the Bible says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. That is, God's word discerns our motives and our hearts, to the joints and to the marrows and to the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of whom that we must give an account. The Lord God knows. Hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy means to play the part. It means to have two faces. And you've all seen these before. And I don't know if you look to the screens, if you realize this or not. But we say the English word hypocrisy means to have two faces or to be an actor, to assume a different character or position for a stage. But these images that you're seeing on the screen, in Greek, they're called hypocrite. Hypocrites. Double faces. One smiley, one frowning. You can be a hypocrite. You can be dying on the inside, but put on a happy face. You can be very happy about something, but yet put on the outward appearance that it's some very grievous and burdensome situation in your life and be deceiving people. The word is hypocrisy. Luke chapter 11 has been a chapter of accelerating education, as it were, and illumination, but now examination. Jesus comes and he exposes hypocrisy. There comes a great crescendo as this chapter closes out and the stage is set. And Jesus is going to address some actors. And boy, is he going to pull their mask off here in a moment. In these verses that here we have before us, there are basically three key players. There's the Pharisees, and we'll learn about them this morning. There's the lawyers, and I don't mean attorneys like we know them today. These are lawyers of the word. These lawyers that Jesus will speak about are religious lawyers, not defending religious cases, but their job was to defend the word of God. And then, of course, there's Jesus. Now, the Pharisees were men that were sectarians. They were separatists. They were removed from the common people of the world. They were professional religionists, the Pharisees. They were the ones that were to be teaching people the word of God. They were to be the representatives of God to the people, the Pharisees. A man-made concoction, a tradition. It was, as it were, a long line of those who lorded what God wanted, what God taught from God, they would say, to the people. And then the lawyers are those who are the defenders of that faith. You say, well, Jack, were they defenders of the Bible? They were defenders of the Bible, but what happened, as we shall see, they became defenders of men's traditions more than the Bible. And church, listen, it's going to be quiet in here today. Because what Jesus says is going to fly right up against some of us who have been walking with God the most. Maybe you're a brand new Christian this morning, or you're not a Christian at all. Listen, you've got an encouraging message today. I do mean this. Because one of the greatest dangers is to become associated with the things of God and take the things of God and make them common and become professional. I'm thinking about Brian, who had to leave after we prayed for him off to the airport. That's how quick he's getting out of here. He's heading off in the Marine Corps to fight for freedom. He's going to get shot at. And my heart goes out to him. But then I think, as being a true pastor, listen, the complacency, the danger is if Brian goes to Iraq and walks around like he's at some sort of a tea party, he's going to get shot. God forbid, but he's going to get hit if he takes it lightly. As a minister of the gospel, and maybe you as a Christian, if we walk around this world taking it lightly, ho-hum, I'm a Christian, I own a Bible, I'm going to heaven, I don't care about you, whatever, I tithe, I do my thing. We can become so complacent that those who want to come to Christ, those who want to know the Lord, those who want to find purpose for living and know the love of God, they'll just keep right on the path and walk right past God, because they'll look at us who claim to know God. And we might even know God, but we've departed from him, and will misrepresent the Lord before the eyes of those that are seeking out after God, and we will do a gross injustice both to them, to ourselves, but ultimately to the Lord himself. Hypocrisy kills. And the Pharisees and the lawyers Jesus will be speaking to. Point number one in our study this morning of diagnoses, hypocrisy, it's this. Hypocrisy. You may have hypocrisy growing and existing in your life if there's a burning in the eyes. Will you write that down? Diagnoses. If there's a burning in the eyes. You see what I mean by that? Well, number one, this. Hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. Hypocrisy. Have you ever stared? Hypocrisy stares at tradition. It can't take its eyes off tradition. Why? Now, church, understand this. Tradition can be beautiful if it brings to your heart and mind memory and reflection and thoughts toward God. For example, last week we had a memorial service regarding September 11th. That is becoming a tradition across America. But God help us if we do those things and not remember. Oh, we have a band, or we've got cotton candy machine, or we'll sell tickets. And forget what it was all about, then it becomes a tradition, and we take it, and we actually wind up making it something worse than what it should be as a great thing. Tradition's not bad. It's what man's heart does to tradition that messes it up. And hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. Church, Christian, when you stare at something, what happens to your eyes if you stare? They begin to burn. Those of you who spend your life on the computer like I do, your eyes begin to burn. Eye doctors tell us we have to remember to blink when we're looking at a computer, because when we stare at something, our natural mind, our auto system doesn't blink. We have to force ourselves to blink. Interesting. When you begin to stare, your eyes begin to burn, your vision begins to get very, very focal, and it begins to actually go bad, your peripheral vision. You can't see what's out there. Tradition doesn't allow you to see what's out there. You say, well, why do I need to see what's out there? I have my tradition. That's the problem. Jesus said, hypocrisy is going to make you burn in the eyes. He says in verse 37 and 38, as he spoke, a certain Pharisee. Circle the word certain. Means something's up. Something's scheming. It wasn't a Pharisee. It was a certain one. There was a motion or movement in action. There was a covert operation going on. A certain Pharisee asked Jesus to dine or to have supper with him. And so he went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that Jesus had not first washed his hands before dinner. You say, well, Jack, I tell my kids to go wash their hands before dinner every day. That's not what this Pharisee's all interested about. That's not what he's caught up into. You see what happens here? He's departing from the word of God. And the Pharisee is watching for something and looking for something. What? To hear what Jesus is going to say about the Bible? To see what Jesus is going to teach next? Not at all. That certain Pharisee is in some sort of a ploy, a move to watch, where does Jesus trip up? Let's find if we can trip up. Let's bust him. Listen, you will never find Jesus busting or tripping up over the Word of God, ever. He can't violate the Word of God, ever. But you know what? Quite frankly, Jesus could literally care less about is the traditions of men. We love them. We always do it this way. I guess if you're comfortable, fine, but don't make it a rule. So that's what these guys did. It's always been done this way. It's got to be done this way. It's the way our grandfather's done it, our father. It's the way it's going to be done, and my sons will do it this way. For what reason? I don't know. It's just the way we do it. You say, well, that's great if you're building buildings or laying concrete and there's a technique. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about religion. We are talking about man's attempt to reach God and to become attainable to God. And Jesus speaks out against that. Hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. When the Pharisees saw this, what happened? And why was he basing this as something critical? The Jewish writings had created in the Mishnah. That's additional writings that the Jews had written in the Mishnah, in Yadim 2, verse 3 of the Mishnah. It demands that hands must be washed exactly a certain way. Church, it's about two paragraphs of how you've got to wash your hands before you eat. Is it in the Bible? No. But is it in the Jewish Mishnah? Yes. You say, well, that's nice to wash your hands. Fine. But to make it a religious requirement of fellowship and approval to God is crazy. It's wrong and destructive. And Jesus, who came to fulfill the Word of God, did not have to wash his hands the way that they were hunting him down to do. Why? Because the Mishnah is not the Word of God. I love Bible commentaries. It's not the Word of God. Look at your study Bible. Does it have footnotes? Does it have little comments at the bottom of the page? Not Bible. Those are the producers and the editor's notes. The Bible is the Bible. Anything else is from man, okay? Very important. That flies in the face of our traditions, though. Verse 38 says, when that Pharisee saw it, he marveled. He was shocked. The word means that his eyes popped open and his jaw fell open. He didn't wash his hands. We got him now. He didn't keep the traditions of our fathers who wrote that down that you should do it. Can't come to church. How come? You're dressed too good. You got a three-piece suit on. You say, well, that's ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous to say if somebody walks in here, if they have jeans on. You can't come in here. Listen, God knows the heart. Should we be respectful to the Lord? Yep. I have a nice shirt on. It's brand new. You like it? It's brand new. I tell you what, it's my Sunday shirt. When I was out looking for a shirt, Lisa said, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for a Sunday shirt. This is a Sunday shirt. I want to give God this shirt. It's not for you. You say, I like this shirt. That's fine if you like it or not. I think God likes this shirt. And you say, well, you know what? I want to give God my best too. That's beautiful. And so we should. If I'm going to be invited to the, I don't know what's in Hollywood. What are those nutty things? Emmys, Grammys, Bammies, I don't know what they're called. But you know, if you get invited to something like that, you know, you dress up, you look nice. For who? You know? Are you homeless today and you've come here today? That's awesome. Wear the best homeless t-shirt you've got. But come to Christ. See, God doesn't look to see who's dressed the most. God looks to see what your heart's dressed with. Tradition clouds our heart, clouds our vision, as we shall see in a moment. Jesus said in another place, in Matthew 15, verse 2, why do your disciples, they came asking Jesus, transgress the traditions of the elders? Hey, Jesus, how come your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat the bread. And Jesus answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. I love when he talks like that, by the way. Jesus, how come your disciples don't wash their hands? Hey, I'm going to ask you something. How come you guys run around keeping your traditions and violating the Word of God? Straight to the point. True. Jesus always is. Mark chapter 7, verse 8. Mark chapter 7, verse 8. Listen to this. Apply this to tradition. Tradition, by the way, being requirements that men and women have to leap over and leap to and attain to and fulfill before they can be accepted. For you lay aside the commandment of God, Jesus said, holding the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other things you do, he said to them all. All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. Why do you do what you do? Does your church, does a church require you this and require you of that? Why? Ask them why. Well, we're not allowed to ask why. How come? It's our tradition. We cannot ask. Start asking. Show me in the Bible. Show me in the Bible. Why? Well, this is what we do. Some churches don't even read the Bible. They call themselves churches. When the Bible says, read the Bible. Can I read the Bible? No, we'll read the Bible. We'll tell you what it says. Yeah, but the Bible says to read the Bible. How do you know? We'll tell you what it means. You guys, that's dangerous. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. There the Bible says, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths, they honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Hypocrisy cannot stop staring at tradition. Secondly, the burning of the eyes could be caused by hypocrisy because it cannot see reality. Hypocrisy is a funny thing. It'll blind you to reality. Verse 39, then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. This is awesome. The guy invites Jesus over for dinner and he's going to set Jesus up. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that the guy is already dumbfounded about Jesus not keeping the Mishnah. Jesus doesn't care about the Mishnah. Who's getting set up here anyway? Jesus is there, and he says, I want to say something. You Pharisees, you guys do a great job of washing everything on the outside. But on the inside, you guys are full of greed and wickedness. Greed? Greed is the word to obtain things to themselves. Wickedness is the Greek word by plotting and scheming. Translation, the inside of you is filthy, no matter how beautiful you look on the outside. How? Why? Is that true? Because inside you are constantly plotting and scheming how you can come out on top every time. Jesus tells it right to these guys. And you have got to see these guys. They are so dressed up with their religious stuff. They got rings. They've got these rings everywhere. They're like, yes, Jesus, we'd like to ask you a question. Yes. He's there. He's in his robe. You've got God in his robe. You've got man looking like God. And Jesus says, what are you doing? Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'd love to have been there to see this. But you don't have to go too far because it's very prevalent in our world today. Reality gets skewed when hypocrisy burns the eyes. I'm a servant of God. Well, then serve somebody, will you? What? Where's my parking space? Listen, I was reading a friend of mine. He wrote a book. I had a chance to speak with this guy at a men's retreat. Great, great, great guy. He went with a friend of his. He was asked to speak at the Hollywood Bowl for Easter sunrise service. And the committee for the Hollywood Bowl asked him, we need to know where your address is. We need to GPS. We need to find out where there's a place close enough where we can pick you up by helicopter. He said, helicopter? I know where the Hollywood Bowl is. I live in Pasadena. I can make it. And they said, well, the preacher last year had to have a helicopter. He said, that's not necessary. They said, well, okay. Then where do you want the limo to pick you up at? We need your address. He said, I have a 99 Volvo. It works fine. And they said, we can't have you come in a Volvo. You can't come to the Hollywood Bowl to be the key speaker on a Sunday service in a Volvo. And he said, why not? He said, well, because the person the year before that had to have a limo. Doctor, reverend, pastor, minister, servant, I need a helicopter? Watch out. Hypocrisy causes your eyes to burn and skew reality. Then the Lord said to him, now you, Pharisee, make no mistake about it, church. Jesus is busting this guy and Pharisees in totality. It's plural there. Can you imagine the silence that must have been in that room? How did this happen? Why did this happen? I don't know anything about them, but I know something about me and I know something about us. As believers, we need to be very careful, church. Always very careful. Here's the reason why. We can be so in love with God, but get so sideways with things that we can walk away from the love of God and the life of God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you because you've left your first love. Hot love. The word is hot, preeminent, always before your face love. You've left your first love, Jesus said. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do your first works. I love that. Isn't this great? If you forget everything else, remember this. Jesus said, hey, Christian, stay close to me. Keep dating me. Keep flirting with me. Keep hanging out with me. Keep sending me notes. Keep waking up in the morning saying, love you, Jesus. What are we going to do today? Watch a cloud go by, or by the mercies of God, hallelujah, rain clouds came by Southern California this weekend, and it rained. What did you do?
My car's all dirty now.
Or did you say, thank you, God, we're in a drought. Thanks for the rain. Do your first works. Hey, remember when you met him or met her? First love. Hi, hello, where are you going? Whatever, I'm going wherever you're going. What? You love their voice. You love their smell. They can even sweat, and it's fantastic. So cute. Anything. Oh, my hair's messed up. I'm sorry. It's awesome. Think about it. Jesus says, be like that with me. Be like that with me. And if you're not like that with me, get back. Why? Because the danger is hypocrisy can creep in. We can get complacent with him. We get a skewed reality. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Conceit means eyes on yourself, eyes focused on you. In lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others more highly than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your interests, but the interests of others also. Don't let conceit, which breeds hypocrisy, come into your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Diagnosis Hypocrisy. It's a look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 37 through 54, part of our chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in recent weeks, we've been offering Pastor Jack's CD series, When a Christian Prays. We also aired the series recently here on Real Radio, and due to the response, we're extending our offer. For your contribution of any amount to the continuing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's CD series, When a Christian Prays. Now, whether you call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, When a Christian Prays. More than one way to get in touch? Beginning with our website, pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside. You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.